All right, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Bet Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. It says, "Beit Shemai Omrim, Ein Motzin Lo Et Katan, Velo Et Lulav, Velo Et Sefer Torah L'Rishut Rabim, Ubeit Hilel Matirim." Beit Shemai says one may not take out on Yom Tov a youngster, a young child, may not carry a lulav or a Sefer Torah into the Rishut Rabim, meaning that there's a problem of Hotzah that you would otherwise find by Shabbat. Beit Hillel Matirim, on the other hand, Beit Hillel says it's Mutar. The Gemara will discuss the reasoning behind their two positions. There's just an important Rabbeinu Hananel on this Mishnah, which will have implications later on in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Hananel, in describing why he's carrying these objects out, he says, Naktinen Lulav leMitzvato, a Lulav to carry out to do the Mitzvah of Lulav on Sukkot, VeKatan leMulo, and a Katan, not just to carry a Katan out, but to give him a Brit Mila, Sefer Torah leKrotpo. And the Sefer Torah is to read in it. So what the Rabbeinu Hananel suggests over here is that Afo Pisho Osem Mitzvah, even though all these items he's going to do the mitzvah, nevertheless, Beit Shammai says it's problematic, and Beit Hillel says it's fine. Now we'll come back and discuss that, but that Rabbeinu Hananel's description in the Mishnah is very important in his understanding of why these items were picked. Okay, Tana Kamei de Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimei. Someone brought a brito in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimei, Shochet Olat Nidava B'Yom Tov Loke. Someone who shechs an Olat Nidava, an Olat voluntary offering, on Yom Tov gets Malkot. Amalei Damalacha Mani. Who is this? Who do you think this is? This is Beit Shammai. This has got to be Beit Shammai. Da Amrei Lo Amrinim Mitoch Shehutra Hotza L'Tzorach, Hutra Nami Shelo L'Tzorach. Because they do not have the principle of Mitoch. Which means that we'll get to this again a little bit more in detail, but because one is allowed to carry for purposes on Yom Tov, for Ochel Nefesh, therefore they're also allowed to carry Shelo Letzorach Ochel Nefesh. Di Beit Hillel, because if it was Beit Hillel, Ha'amrei, they believe, Mitoch Shehutra Hotza Letzorach, since Hotza'ah is permitted because of Ochel Nefesh, Hutra Nami Shelo Letzorach. So therefore it's also permitted, Shelo Letzorach Ochel Nefesh. Hachanami, so to in our case. Mitoch shehutra shchita l'tzorech, since shchita is mutar l'tzorech ochel nefesh, hutranami shelo l'tzorech ochel nefesh, in this case it's shelo l'tzorech ochel nefesh because it's an ola that's going on the mizbeach, it completely goes on the mizbeach, there's no eating from it, there's no ochel nefesh from it, and therefore it's not permitted through the dispensation of ochel nefesh only because of mitoch. Right now, number of issues here. The first is that Beit Hillel, in a couple of daf, will also say that Nedarim and Nedavot are not Krevim B'Yom Tov. You're not allowed to bring Nedarim and Nedavot on Yom Tov. That means Beit Hillel also thinks that it's a problem to bring Nedarim and Nedavot. So why does the Gemara here conclude it must be Beit Shammai when Beit Hillel also says that you cannot bring Nedarim and Nedavot? So Tosfot brings a key distinction between them, which is that Beit Shammai believes that you're not allowed to bring a neder and a dava, bring an ola on Yom Tov, and you will get malkot for it because you're in violation of the Iser of Shechita on Yom Tov. There is no dispensation. On the other hand, Beit Hillel believes, mitoch shehutra l'tzorech ochel nefesh, hutra shelo l'tzorech ochel nefesh. And therefore, according to them, there is no restriction. So how come you cannot bring a neder or a dava on Yom Tov? That's because we're going to learn the Gemara dashes from that, lachem, below the gvoa. You can only do for yourself and not for gvoa, not for Kodesh Baruch Hu. So there's a deal of the apostle that ochel nefesh is only permitted for you, not for kodashim. That is what we call alav abam chlal asay. That lachem is the asay, you're allowed to do for yourself. Therefore, we learn out from that, that legvoa now. And because of that, it's a alav abam chlal asay, which you would not get malkut for. And that's what Tosafot points out. The reason the Gemara believes here it's Beit Shammai's opinion and not Beit Hillel's opinion is because of the Malkot. According to Beit Shammai, you will still get Malkot. According to Beit Hillel, there's no Malkot over here because it's learned out of Lechem Velo Legvoa, not out of the Iser itself, the underlying Iser of Shechita on Yom Tov. Alright, next in the Gemara says, how do you know that this is what they're arguing about? Matkif la Rabba. Mimayda Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Baha Plige. How do you know that this is what they're arguing about? Dilma be'eruv ve'hotza'ah l'shabbat ve'in eruv hotza'ah l'yom tov kamiflege. Maybe they're arguing about whether there's an isur of carrying, and according to Rashi, the girsa here is eruv ve'hotza'ah, which is Eruv Chatzerot and Hotza'at. Do they have application by Yom Tov? But like they have application by Shabbat. Marsavar Eruv Hotza'at Shabbat Veruv Hotza'at Yom Tov. Shammai believes, just like there's a restriction of carrying on Shabbat, there's a restriction of carrying on Yom Tov. And just like there's a din of Eruv Chatzerot on Shabbat, there's a din of Eruv Chatzerot on Yom Tov. Omar Savar, Beit Hillel, that Eruv Hotza'at Shabbat, that has application by Shabbat, ve'ein eruv hotza'ah li'yom tov. And there is no eruv and hotza'ah on Yom Tov.
There's no need for an eruv.
Right, so eruv chatzirot is only a din derabanan, but that din derabanan derives from the fact that there's an Easter hotza'ah mideoraita. When there's no Easter deoraita, there's also no din of eruv chatzirot as well. Tosafot brings, if you look at Tosafot, he brings an alternative girsa, which is, it's not eruv v'chotza'ah, but rather eruv hotza'ah. And he says that hotza'ah is like one of the other melachot. Basically because of your question, which is, of course, if there is no hotza'ah, there is no eruv v'chatzerot. You're dealing with the right of the rabbonon, why would you even discuss the issue of the rabbanan? So he says that there was a alternative girsa that dropped the vav, and said that the word Eruv is not Eruv Chatzerot, but rather that Eruv, that it's mixed, that Hotza'ah is a part of the other Melachot of Yom Tov, because of exactly this problem of why even raise Eruv Chatzerot at all, although in the end he leaves the Girsa alone. Alright, so now we have a possibility of understanding their Machloket as simply being whether you can carry or not carry on Yom Tov, Kirichtiv, because you have a Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says, V'lo totzio masami batechem biyom ha-shabbat. You may not carry out a burdens or items on Shabbat. B'shabbatin biyom tov lo. That's true on Shabbat, not on Yom Tov. And that's why Yirmiyahu is rebuking them regarding Shabbat and not about Yom Tov. So then you have a machloket here about whether there is carrying on Yom Tov or there is no carrying on Yom Tov. We know in the end that there is no carrying on Yom Tov, that the Gemara is going to say in a second. But this is an important fundamental concept in Yom Tov vis-a-vis Shabbat. We discussed this in our introduction to the Masechet Shabbat about the Melachot on Shabbat. We spoke there about the fact that Melachot Shabbat or the Lametet Melachot are based around creative Melacha. Things where you are doing something that changes the status of the item. And by changing the status of an item, you've exercised creative abilities over an object. And the point of desisting from Melacha on Shabbat is to show that there's only one creator and that we are subject to the rules, the laws of the ultimate creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like God created the world and then rest on Shabbat, we rest, but we rest to show that Hashem is the creator and that we only work under the creation of God. But the one problem is carrying. How is carrying a creative Melacha? It's one of the most difficult malachot. Rabbeinu Tam calls it a malacha gerua. It's not like a real malacha. It's a subpar malacha. And that has ramifications in the Gemara and Shabbat with verses that we only are osir and hotza, things that we find in the Mishkan. But the other malachot, anything that's similar, we say is asur. Like that malacha, like that av malacha. Yet by hotza'ah, even for every detail, we look for a parallel in the Mishkan. The Rabbeinu Tam says, because it's a malacha gerua. And if you don't have a parallel in the Mishkan, you wouldn't automatically assume that that type of carrying is asur. But you still have to ask the fundamental question is, why is carrying asur? What creative malacha are you doing? So Reb Grunfeld, in his book on Shabbat, mentions that the creative malacha here is the social interaction. It's the ability of human beings to act and interact on a social level. Carrying is one of those key elements, which is to share. If one goes to another person's house and brings food or brings a gift with them, then they are sharing in the food. That is this social interaction that's enjoying other people's company. And that's one of the things that human beings do in terms of socializing. That's one of the creative parts of being a human being, and part of what it means to be human is to interact with other people. That is restricted on Shabbat. On Yom Tov, on the other hand, it's just the opposite. On Yom Tov, part of the Simchat Yom Tov, which we know is based on the Pasuk in Nehemiah, you have to bring Manot Le'Nechono, you have to share with other people. That's the whole aspect of Yom Tov, is sharing your meals, eating together with others. There, especially with the less fortunate, Yatom, the Almanah, those that don't have, that you have to invite them, so much so that the Rambam himself formulates that one who just stays at home and eats themselves just with their family, it's not called Simchat Yom Tov, it's not called eating L'Shem Yom Tov, but rather Malei Kreso, just stuffing your belly. That is not the idea of Simchat Yom Tov. The idea of Simchat Yom Tov is to share with others, to give to others. And that's a fundamental part of the Simchat Yom Tov and part of Yom Tov. And that would explain the difference, why there is restriction of carrying on Shabbat, no restriction of carrying on Yom Tov. Now, Tzorach Ochel Nefesh, you could have gotten away without carrying. Carrying doesn't necessarily relate to Ochel Nefesh. You could have done it all inside of your house, all within the Da'at Amanot of your house, your chatzer. You could have shechted, you could have had the food. You don't need to carry in order to accomplish Ochel Nefesh. On the other hand, based on what we're saying here, the concept of carrying would make a lot of sense why there would be such a differentiation in carrying on Shabbat, where it's restricted, versus on Yom Tov, where there's that aspect of simcha, that aspect of sharing, which is permitted on Yom Tov. It's a holiday of social interaction, rather than Shabbat, which is, again, a holiday of desisting from Malacha, and even being alone, not necessarily that social interaction. Right, so that's the Gemara here. Rabbah at least attempts here to explain the Mishnah not being a machloket in mitoch, this idea of mitoch, rather a machloket in whether there is caring on Shabbat than Yom Tov. So then, matkif la Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef then challenged that and says, el mi'ato. Based on that, liflugu be'avanim. Then why are they arguing about the items in our Mishnah? They could just argue about stones. So why would they argue about stones? So Rashi says something extremely important here. If you look in Rashi, liflugu be'avanim, I ein isur ha'utza'a, ein isur tiltul. Well, rocks have a separate route. They have one problem is that you can't carry them, because you're carrying maybe reshuta yechid to reshuta rabim. But there's a secondary issue in rocks, which are, they're mukzit. So how can you pick up rocks? Why is Rav Yosef even asking, why don't they argue in rocks? The problem with stones or rocks is that, forgetting about the carrying, there's a problem of tiltul, there's a problem of muksa, that you can't lift them. Now, even if muksa is the rabbanon, still, there is muksa, and then why would Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai argue in stones and carrying them out to Reshit HaRim? Argue at least with something that you can carry, that's not engaged in muksa. Rashi says, Shalom neser tiltul umishum hotza'a. Rashi says, muksa is a derivative of the Isur Hotza'ah on Shabbat. Mentioned this in passing in the past, that the restriction of muksa, the reasons behind muksa are varied. One of them, and here Rashi says, is because of Hotza'ah. We don't want you to engage in items because you might come to carry them out. So then Rashi asks, umash lo gazru akol atultulim. If that's the logic, then you shouldn't be able to carry anything on Shabbat. If we're afraid that you're going to carry out into the Reshut HaRabim, then why can you pick up any object on Shabbat? Because you might carry it out into the Reshut HaRabim. Afil al ochlim v'kelim. Even regular food items or utensils that are, we call kli shemachto, the heter, or ochel, which are permitted to be carried, they're not mukse. Mishum de'in gozrim gzera l'tzibur, elim kein rov tzibur yoholim lamod ba. Rashi says it's just too far. Nobody would be able to live like that. It would make it extreme, to the point that the gzera would not take hold. So they only put the gzera in effect for things that would matter, or that people could handle. And so they left out things like ochel and kelim that are melachtan the heter. So because of that, muksa is a derivative of hotza'ah. If you don't have hotza'ah, you also don't have muksa according to Rashi. We discussed, again, in the past, other reasons for muksa. Problems of if you engage in items that are melachtan the isur, that you might come to do an isur. We also saw the Rambam that says that the reason for muksa is for those people that don't work all week. What's going to be different for them on Shabbat if they aren't working during the week anyway? So the difference would be muksa, that they don't engage in certain items. There's a differentiation in Shabbat. But here Rashi clearly connects between the two. The Gemara itself says this. Rashi says that this is an important factor. That's why avanim are permitted. Ella, midelo miflige b'avanim. Now the Gemara says, if they didn't argue about stones, shma mina b'utza shlo l'tzorech plige. That means that they're arguing about hotza'ah, not for a purpose. That's what their argument is about. So that means that Rav Yosef believes the machloket here in our Mishnah is about whether you apply mitoch or do not apply it mitoch. The way Rashi formulates it again, it's a very fundamental Rashi, which Tosafot argues on. That's why it's so important. Rashi says over here, oh, midalom iflegu ba'avanim, shma mina, dulukule alma yesh hotza'ah liyom tov. So first of all, he says, everybody agrees. Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree that there is an isur, a restriction of hotza'ah on Yom Tov. Ela shemina Torah hutra l'torech. The Torah says that you can do it for ochel nefesh. The Torah says that you have that permission, that dispensation. Ach asher ye'achel ochel nefesh hu levado yaseh lechem. So ochel nefesh is permitted for caring. Caring for ochel nefesh is now permitted based on the pasuk. And then Beit Hillel on top of that has came into Hutra the Tzorach, Hutra min Torah legamre. Since it's mutar ve'ochel nefesh, it's now completely mutar. It's as if the isur of Hotza'ah no longer exists according to Beit Hillel. Ella, Rabbanan Gazur, b'midei d'avitircha d'lo tzarech. Yet there is a gzeira, according to the Chachamim, for things that were a tircha, that were an effort that was not necessary. Kimo, what is that like? Avanim, like things like stones. So stones will not be permitted to carry on Yom Tov, according to Rashi, midrabanan. Midoraita, you could carry whatever you want, and anytime you want, everywhere you want, there is no hotza'ah on Yom Tov anymore. So then, why is it that you can't carry a stone? Rashi says that's an Isur derabanan that was imposed because of muksa. Aval b'katan, v'sefer Torah, tzrechinan lo b'yom tov lo gazur. But things that are required on Yom Tov, they were not gozer. There's no Isur derabanan. But Shemai leitluhu migo. And Beit Shemai does not have this migo, does not have this concept of mitoch. And therefore, you can only carry for ochel nefesh. You can't carry for any other reason. What Rashi says here has amazing implications, which is, according to Rashi, as soon as you have any melacha that is heter ochel nefesh associated with it, the melacha disappears. There is no melacha anymore. So there are those that ask, then according to Rashi, what happens to melachot on Yom Tov? Melachot on Yom Tov disappear according to this, because there is never hotza on Yom Tov. There's never bishul on Yom Tov. There's never havara on Yom Tov. They're all going away. So there are different answers given. One of the answers given is by melachot that don't have heter ochel nefesh associated with them. There's certain melachot that don't have heter ochel nefesh, for instance, plowing the fields. Doesn't have a heter ochel nefesh, and therefore on Yom Tov you'll still have the melacha. The Kobet Shurim also mentions machshirei ochel nefesh, which is that Rashi over here says that when it comes to melachot, they're mutar the gamrei by machshirei ochel nefesh, according to those opinions that believe that machshirei ochel nefesh are also mutarin. Like we saw in Rabbi Lezer de Milo, we also saw it in Sukkah as well, that those that believe that machshirei ochel nefesh are mutarim, if you believe that Rashi thinks mitoch, if you permitted both ochel nefesh and things that are machshirei ochel nefesh, there would be no melachot on Yom Tov whatsoever. So Rabbi Chanan says, no, there is no din of mitoch, because there machshirei ochel nefesh are subject or limited to ochel nefesh. But machshirei ochel nefesh, the whole permission is because they are machshirei ochel nefesh. And therefore you can't say mitoch in machshirei ochel nefesh, because that application doesn't make sense over there. The whole reason that they are allowed is because they are machshirei ochel nefesh. But if they're not ochel nefesh, they're not machshirei ochel nefesh, the melacha will still be in place. But where do you have the manifestations of these melachot according to Rashi? Hotza'ah just does not have application according to Rashi on Yom Tov whatsoever. And that's part of Tosavot's question, because we have a Gemara in Psachim Daf Mem Vav. I have it later on in the Gemara in Beitza, which is Ofer miYom Tov l'chol. Someone who cooks, bakes from Yom Tov for a weekday, loke, gets malkot. Now, even there, there's a machloket Rabban Rav Chista whether you do get malkot, but even for the one who is matir, it's only because hoel omikle orchim. The only reason that we say it's okay is because maybe guests will come. Why do you need maybe guests will come? There is no problem. It's mitoch. If there's no bishul, because bishul is mutar for ochel nefesh, there's no bishul whatsoever. And according to Rashi, that means, why should you be ofim yom tov dechol? Why should you be chayav whatsoever? So now, the Ran answers, the Shar Melech, others answer on behalf of Rashi, that there is a big difference. There's a difference between a ofe on yom tov, whether it's letzorach ochel nefesh or lo letzorach ochel nefesh, or a ofe mi yom tov dechol. If you bake specifically or cook specifically from yom tov dechol, that's what the Ran says. Ran says that if you do it intentionally for the next day, that's not called ofe on Yom Tov, which has the dispensation. And so there is a manifestation of the melacha in a case where you do it for the next day. The way the Shara Melech formulates it is, the Torah permitted you to bake or cook on Yom Tov. There they said the Torah called chol nefesh, but it's only for Yom Tov. So now when you do it not for Yom Tov, so you can't have mitoch be matir, something that the Torah itself never gave you permission for, even if you apply mitoch. Mitoch says, whatever the Torah permitted, tomorrow permitted for Yom Tov. It didn't permit for Chol. And therefore, even Rashi will agree that you get Malkot there because that's not permitted. Now, that also helps us out a little bit, because then Rashi does have underlying Mlachot here. He does have an instance where the Mlacha will apply when you do it for the next day. The Tzlach also mentions other cases where it might apply, which is that we paskin, the Halacha of the Ramah brings down, that someone who's fasting on Yom Tov, happens on Rosh Hashanah, in the halachas of Rosh Hashanah, because many people fast on Rosh Hashanah. If one fasts on Yom Tov, they may not cook for others. If you're fasting, you don't have a heter ochel nefesh anymore because you're not going to eat. Since you're not going to eat, you don't have a heter ochel nefesh, you also don't have mitoch. Mitoch only applies if you could do it for ochel nefesh, therefore you could do it shalola ochel nefesh. Over here where you can't eat, you're fasting, you do not have a heter ochel nefesh. Therefore, you can't do it shalola heter ochel nefesh, which means to cook or bake for other people. So that's another case where you will have a manifestation of the melachot according to Rashi. And that's important, as in the Kovet Shiurim, Rav Chanan points out that Rashi over here says that there's a gzeira derabonon of carrying rocks. Tiltul avonim and mukse. Why should there be any mukse? Rashi clearly connected between hotza'ah and mukse. So if there's no hotza'ah, as Rashi says, it's gone the gamre, then how could you ever have a concept of mukse? Why did the Chachamim all of a sudden come up with mukse if there's no carrying whatsoever? The answer is that there are manifestations of the malacha of carrying. If you carry specifically for the next day. If you carry when you're fasting and you don't have a heter ochel nefesh. So maybe in those instances, you will have a problem of an Isur malacha. And then from that, they could extend it into muksa. Then it makes sense that muksa, if the underlying malacha exists, then you can have an extension to Rabbanan. The underlying malacha doesn't exist. Why the Rabbanan come up with muksa at all? But based on these answers, you see that even according to Rashi, there is an underlying malacha that still exists. It's not hutra. Tosafot argues on Rashi, and we pass in this way the halacha. Tosafot says that when the Gemara says that somebody that's hutar l'ochel nefesh is also hutar shalol l'ochel nefesh, that's only shalol l'ochel nefesh, but it still has to be tzorach yom tov. Tosafot says that the only time you have a heter on yom tov to do a malacha is when it's l'tzorach yom tov. That goes back to Rabbeinu Chananel on the Mishnah. What are the Rabbeinu Chananel in the cases the Mishnah said? All those cases are cases where you have a mitzvah to do, a mitzvah to accomplish. And that's why there's a heter from mitoch. Because it's not, you're right, it's not ochel nefesh, but it's still something that you need to do on that day. You're carrying the lulav to perform the mitzvah lulav on that day. You are carrying the Sefer Torah to read from the Sefer Torah on that day. You're carrying the child in order to give them a brit milah. These are mitzvot that you must perform on that day, and that's why they're permitted. Tosafot says you have to have a tzorach yom tov. In the end, Ben Adam says that it doesn't have to be that you're carrying the baby specifically to do a mitzvah. It could even be if you're going out for a tiyul. You want to take a walk on yom tov and you want to enjoy yourself. If that's part of your simchat yom tov, then it's fine to carry the baby because that is tzorech yom tov, because it's a part of your simcha, it's a part of what you're doing for yom tov. But to carry for no reason whatsoever, he thinks is problematic. That means the difference between Rashi and Tosafot will be if you carry a stone on yom tov, a stone that you don't need. According to Rashi, that's only an isur derabanan. Whereas according to Tosafot, that will be an isur deoraita, because you don't have the heter of mitoch. Mitoch only applies if it's a tzorech yom tov. If it doesn't have any tzorech yom tov, then it doesn't apply at all. Tosafot extends that a little bit and suggests that even if you are shechting an olah, that maybe that will be a tzorech yom tov, because in the case where I have my table full, then how could Hashem's table be empty? So when you shochet the animal for a olat chovah, then maybe that will qualify to be part of tzorech yom tov. But he says that you have to have a tzorech tzat, to have some need. It doesn't have to be full-fledged necessity, but it has to be some. Others want to argue that the Mishnah picked these items because they're mitzvot. They're mitzvot which are lav le'anot nitnu. Maybe you would think that these mitzvot are not permitted because you're getting no benefit from them. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that these, even though these are mitzvot, you can still do them on yom tov. You still can carry with them, even though the quote unquote they don't have a tzorach yom tov, because mitzvot are lav le'anot nitnu. The Rambam has an interesting shita. He only brings down mitoch by two melachot, by hotza'ah and havara. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we do say mitoch, the Rama qualifies that and says it's only when there's a tzorach yom tov like Tosafot. The Mishnah Berurah says we paskin that we hold mitoch for any malacha that is associated with ochel nefesh, as long as there is a tzorach yom tov or tzorach tzat. You have to have some necessity for it. And that's why many people say, oh, what do you need an Erev for on yom tov? You still need an Erev on yom tov because of exactly this issue. If it's not the tzorach yom tov kitzat, you're not allowed to carry. But if you have an Eruv there, then may permit you to carry things that are on the borderline. Although, there are many that believe that even when you have an Eruv on Shabbat and you're allowed to carry, that's only the Tzarech Shabbat. They have to be items that are the Tzarech Shabbat. If that's the case, then you really haven't done anything better for yourself on Yom Tov, because the Eruv also only requires a certain amount of Tzarech Yom Tov. It might be a lower threshold than the Din of Mitoch. That might be helpful, otherwise they're on the same level, that you need some Tzarech here, and that's the way we pass, then you need a Tzarech to do a malacha on Yom Tov. Yeah, Torah Chochol Nefesh, Shalol Torah Chochol Nefesh, but you still need a Torah Yom Tov. That's the way Tosfot formulates it. Torah and Shalol Torah is the Torah Chochol Nefesh, but that's exactly what Tosfot says. The Shalol Torah Chochol Nefesh doesn't mean Shalol Torah Klal. Rashi read it, Shalol Torah means Shalol Torah Klal. You don't have any reason for it, you can do it. Tosfot read Shalol Torah Chochol Nefesh, but you still have to have a Torah Yom Tov associated with it. Alright, now the Gemara continues. Va'af Rabbi Yochanan Savar, even Rabbi Yochanan believes, Mitoch, Shucho Tzal Torah, Hucho Nami Shalol Torah, Pligay. Rabbi Yochanan also subscribes to this idea that this must be the position of the reasoning behind Beit Hillel. The Tani, Tana Kameh Rabbi Yochanan, someone brought a bright in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Hamavashel Gidin Hashem Bichalav B'Yom Tov V'Achlo Lokeh Chamesh. Someone who cooks on Yom Tov, Gidin Hashem, together with milk, and then he eats it, he gets 5 Malkot. Lokeh Mishu Mavashel Gid, he gets a Malkot for Bishol, which is an Abalacha on Yom Tov. V'lokem ishim ochel gid. He gets malkot for eating a gid and asher. V'lokem ishim mevashel basar bechalav. You also get malkot for cooking milk and meat together, which is part of the restriction of lo tevashel gidi bechalev imo, that you're not allowed to even cook the milk and meat together. V'lokem ishim ochel basar bechalav. There's also a restriction against eating milk and meat that were cooked together. V'lokem ishim havara. And because you had to cook, you had to light a fire in order to cook it. So there are your 5 sets of malkot. This, of course, according to one who says Gidin Asher, has tam to it and has a din of basar. Right? That's a separate machloket in the Gemara in Chulin. As Tosfot says, wait a minute, what type of tzorech do you have here by Mevashel Gid? It says because this guy wants to eat it, it becomes his tzorech yom tov. This is what he plans to eat. This is his food. Even though it's asur to eat it, this for him, it's considered to be a tzorech yom tov. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan said back to this person about the Braita, Pok Tani the Bara, throw this Braita out, it's not a good Braita. Havaro Bishol Eina Mishnah. Bishol and Havara don't exist. There is no Isser Bishol, there is no Isser of Havara on Yom Tov. V'im Tim Salomar Mishno, and if you want to say it really is, Beit Shammai. That's the opinion of Shammai. Dami lo amrino mitoch shucho tzal letzorach chucho nami shelo letzorach. Achanayim lo amrino mitoch shucho avara letzorach chucho nami shelo letzorach. They do not subscribe to this position or this issue of mitoch. Mitoch applies according to Beit Hillel. It does not apply to Beit Shammai. Di Beit Hillel, according to Beit Hillel, given the amrino mitoch shucho tzal letzorach chucho nami shelo letzorach, our Mishnah that says since tzorach ochel nefesh is mutar, it's also mutar letzelo letzorach ochel nefesh. Achanami, so too in this case, mitoch shucho avara letzorach. Since you can burn for the tzorech ochel nefesh, hochenami shalol letzorech ochel nefesh. Therefore, you're also allowed to burn for not ochel nefesh. That's why you can light candles on Yom Tov. You can put on the heat. You can do all sorts of things that are not necessarily directly ochel nefesh to get an off from them because it's mitoch. Mitoch allows you to do these items. And that's why Tosfot asks, what type of tzorech? According to Tosfot's opinion that you have to have a tzorech Yom Tov in order for this to work, what type of Tzorach Yom Tov is there in cooking a Gid? That's what he says. This guy wants to eat the Gid. That becomes his Tzorach Yom Tov. That's his Simchat Yom Tov, because that's what he's going to eat for his meal on Yom Tov. Just in conclusion here, there is one other concept that comes up, which we mentioned earlier, which is Hoil Umikle Orchim. Hoil is also another Matir, which allows you to do a Melacha, for instance, to bake on Yom Tov, and you say, oh, maybe guests will come. And since maybe guests will come, you won't get Malkot for it. Or, that's what you prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat, is that you cook for the guests, they don't show up, then you can use it on Shabbat. How does Hoil and Mitoch interact? How do those two concepts interact? Does that mean if you hold a Mitoch, you also hold a Hoil? If you don't hold a Mitoch, you don't hold a Hoil? Meaning that Beit Hillel thinks Mitoch, therefore they think Hoil. And Beit Shammai thinks that there is no Mitoch, also thinks there's no Hoil. Or can you separate those two dinim? So that happens to be a machloket arishonim as to whether they're correlated. I mean that is mitoch and hoel, are they the same din? And they derive from the same concept? And that's why if you have one, you have the other. Or can we separate between them? Some of the Rishonim want to suggest that Beit Shammai, even though they don't hold a mitoch, they do hold of hoel, according to Rabbo. So that if hoel works for Yom Tov, then even according to Beit Shammai it works because it's functioning differently than mitoch. Because it's still, you're doing it for ochel nefesh, you're just doing it for other people's ochel nefesh. You're preparing food or items for them to eat. So it's not a problem of mitoch, it's a separate issue of hoil, and therefore you can separate between them. That turns out to be a machloket harishonim within this position of how do you differentiate, or what is the difference between mitoch and the concept of hoil. One of the major differences might be about ochel nefesh, that mitoch extends it beyond ochel nefesh, whereas hoil will only apply to ochel nefesh. That's an important distinction between them. And that's why Hoyo might have application where Mitoch does not have application, or vice versa. Mitoch might have application where Hoyo doesn't have application. All right, now, next Mishnah. B'Shemai Omrim, Eim Olechim Chala U'Matanot U'Kohen B'Yom Tov. You're not allowed to take Chala that was Hufrasha, or Matanot that were Mufrash on Yom Tov. Now, we know you're allowed to take these off on Yom Tov, because we know you're allowed to bake Chala on Yom Tov. We know that you're allowed to Shecht an animal on Yom Tov. So the only way for you then to proceed is to separate out the Matanot Kuhuna from that. So the Matanot Kuhuna, when you make bread on Yom Tov, you have to take off Chala. The Matanot are the Zroa Lechaim and Keba that come off of an animal. If you shech the animal, then the Matanot Kuhuna have to come off of that animal on Yom Tov. So you have to be able to separate them if you can shech the animal on Yom Tov. You know, by the Zroa Lechaim and the Keba, they don't make the animal tevel. You could eat the animal. Today we eat the animal even though they're not being mafrish. Israel lechaim in the keba. So it doesn't make it tevel, unlike challah, which would make it tevel and you couldn't eat the challah at all. Nevertheless, it has to be that you could separate them off on Yom Tov. Yet, even though you're allowed to separate them, you're not allowed to take them and give them to the kohen. As Tosafot points out, it's not literally you can't take, even if he comes to your house, he can't have them. We don't distribute these matanot to the kohanim on Yom Tov. Ben shehumu mi'emesh, whether they were separated out the day before, ben shehumu mi'ayom, whether they were separated out today. Doesn't matter when you were mafrish them, you were not allowed to distribute them on Yom Tov itself. The reason being that it's a gezeira. We don't want you to come to do hafreshot, trumot, umasrot on Yom Tov. How do we prevent that? We don't allow you to give the matnot kuhun on that day. We limit you to what exactly what you need. We don't allow it to go any further. Beit Hillel matirin. On the other hand, Beit Hillel says, it's fine. Amar lehem Beit Shammai. Gzeira shava. Now obviously it's not a gzeira shava because we're talking about a din derabonan here, not a din deraita. Gzeira shava means let us at least equate these two things, which is chala u'matanot. Matana lekohen. Chala matanot are one of the matanot kiuna. U'chuma matana lekohen. And chuma is also a gift to the kohen. Shem shem olichim etze chuma. Just like you agree that you can't give chuma to the kohen on Yom Tov, kachin molichim et matanot. So too, you can't give the matanot kuhuna on Yom Tov. Well, Beit Hillel, lo. That's not the case. The cases aren't parallel. Ima martin b'truma, shenu zakai b'haramata. There's a difference. Truma you can't give to the kohen because you can't be mafrish trumot and masrot. Even according to Beit Hillel, you can't be mafrish trumot and masrot. That's a Mishnah coming up. Because of tikkun, the gachamim goes there that you're not allowed to be mafrish trumot and masrot on Yom Tov. Since you can't be mafrish, that's why you can't give it to the kohen. On the other hand, tomru b'matanot, zakai b'haramatan. Whereas when it comes to the zro lechaim and the keba and the chala, you are allowed to be mafrish them on Yom Tov. Since you can be mafrish them on Yom Tov, therefore you can also give them to the kohen on Yom Tov. So the cases are not parallel. What Beit Shammai says is, look, the restriction against giving truma, so you're not mafrish truma. So the restriction on chala and matanot should also be there to prevent you from taking off truma. And Beit Hillel says, okay, just keep each category separate. You can't give truma because you can't separate truma. You can give matanot of the Zerua Lechaim Keba and chala because you can be mafrish them. We don't need to restrict you. We're not going to overlap the two dinim. As Beit Shammai sees the equation that anything you give to the kohen is going to then lead you to taking off trumot and masrot.
He come and get it.
So Tosafot said no, but if he eats on your table, Tosafot brings on the Yushalmi, you let him know before Yom Tov that you're going to have this and that he's going to eat at your table, that you could give it to him to eat on your table. But if he comes over to take it, that's the equivalent of taking it to him. So that's what Tosafot says. All right. Kasalka datcho. The Gemara says, the way we understand our Mishnah right now is, Shehumu me'ayom v'shenishchatu ayom. Why were the matanot taken off today? Because you shechted it today. V'shehumu me'emesh. And the matanot that removed yesterday is shenishchatu me'emesh. Because the animal was shechted yesterday. So there's a parallel between when the shechita was done and when the matanot were removed. So if the matanot removed yesterday, that's because the shechita was yesterday. And the matanot were removed today, that's because the shechita was today. Mani matniton. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yossi, velo Rabbi Yehuda, el Achirim. Can't be Rabbi Yossi, can't be Rabbi Yehuda, must be the Achirim, the Tanya. Here's the Braita. Three-way machloket about what the machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is about. The Tanya. Have a Braita. Am Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechlechu Beit Shammai Beit Hillel matanot shehumu me'erev Yom Tov. They don't argue about the fact that if you took off the matanot before Yom Tov, shomolichim matanot shehumu me'ayom, v'shenishchatu me'ayom, that you can take those with matanot that were removed today, and that were shechted today. So everybody agrees that the matanot that you take off today can be taken together with matanot that were from yesterday. Lo nechloku, they only argue, elol olicham bifnei atzman, is to take them by themselves. The only question is about yesterday. Can you take yesterday's matanot by themselves? Today's matanot you for sure can take because fact is you're allowed to take them off today, so you for sure can give them. So even Beit Shammai agrees you can give them from today. The only question is yesterday's matanot, can you give them today because you should have given them yesterday? So we said if they're mixed together, everybody agrees you can give them. If it's today's stuff that you shechted today, that you can give as well. The only question is, if yesterday's matanot by themselves, can you give them today on Yom Tov? That's Machloket Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. But because Rabbi Yehuda says that when it comes to Bifnei Atzman on Yom Tov itself, you shechted it today and gave it today, that would be Mutar Legamrei, he clearly argues on our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says, Shehu Merumei Hayom. The Machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel applies even for things that were separated out today. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's separated today, even Beit Shammai agrees you can give it. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda cannot be the author of our Mishnah. Kachayu Beit Shammai Danin. This is Beit Shammai's reasoning. Chalau matanot matana lekohen, uchuma matana lekohen. Kishem sheim molechim et chuma, kachayim molechim et matanot. Amar loem Beit Hillel, lo. Im amartim chua shein azakai beharamata, chuma, you can't be mafresh and Yom Tov, that's why you can't take it over. Tumru b'matanot shezakai beharamatan. What are you going to tell me about matanot that you are allowed to be mafrish? Why can't you take them over? Same reasoning that we saw in our Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yosi. Lo nechalku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel ala matanot shemolichin. So he's clearly not the author of our Mishnah, because he says that everybody agrees that you can take over chala and zro lechaim in keba, you can take the kohen even on Yom Tov. So he's clearly not the author of the Mishnah, because Beit Shammai says that that's not the case in our Mishnah. Lo nechalku ala truma. They actually argue about truma itself. Beit Shammai omim ein molichim. Beit Hillel omri molichin. Beit Shammai says you can't take it over. Beit Hillel says you can be molich. V'kachayu Beit Hillel danim. This is the way Beit Hillel learns it. Now, it's clear that Beit Hillel subscribes to the fact that you can't be mafrish trumot masrot and Yom Tov. So they must be talking about truma of Erev Yom Tov. Truma that was already mufrash from Erev Yom Tov, can you give it to the Kohen on Yom Tov? So this is there. Danim chalau matanot. Matana lekohen. Utruma matana lekohen. This is Beit Hillel's position. Just like Truma is a matana lekohen, so too are zro lechaim and keba and chala. Kishem shemolechim et matanot, just like you agreed to us that you can take over the zro lechaim, the keba, and all the other matanot guna, kach molechim et truma. Why can't we give over the truma? And we'll end Beit Shammai, lo, ima martim matanot shezakai barama matan. Wait a minute, what are you talking about? Chala and zro lechaim and keba, you can be mafrish on Yom Tov itself. Tomro b'truma shein zakai barama matan. You can't take off Truma on Yom Tov. Again, Beit Hillel agrees to that. You can't take off Truma on Yom Tov. So we're talking about Truma of yesterday. But Beit Shammai says, listen, how could you give it to him today? Because there's a difference. You can't take off Truma today. The whole point of the Gzeira is to prevent you from taking Mafrish Trumot and Masrot. So it doesn't matter that you took them off yesterday. We don't want you engaged in Trumot and Masrot on Yom Tov itself. So that's Rabbi Yossi's opinion. He's clearly not the author of our Mishnah. Now, Acherim Omrim. Here's the Acherim who the Gemara suggested is the author of our Mishnah, which is, everybody agrees, truma you can't take. They argue about matanot. That Beit Shammai says you cannot take it over, and Beit Hillel says you can't take it over. No distinction between whether the matanot came yesterday or they came today, which is the way that our Mishnah learns. Our Mishnah says, doesn't matter if it's humu me'ayom or humu me'emesh. So that's how achirim are the authors of our Mishnah. That's what Gemara says, le'ma achirimi velo Rabbi Yehuda. Let us suggest that the authors are achirim and not Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda does distinguish between emesh and hayom. Amarava, miktani shehumu me'ayom, v'shenishchatu me'ayom. You made an assumption. By the way, once the Gemara says kasal kadatcha, this is the way to read the Mishnah, you obviously know that there's an alternative to reading the Mishnah a different way. Well, you suggest that the way you read our Mishnah is that they were taken off today because it was shechted today. Shehur muktani. All it says is that they were taken off. Udo olam shchitatan miemesh. They were actually shechted yesterday. So what he suggests is that the case in our Mishnah is that the animal was shechted yesterday in both instances. Whether you mafrish the kala, which the Gemara only gives one example, but it means for kala as well. If then yesterday you baked the kala or you made the dough, you should have been mafrish the kala yesterday. If you weren't mafrish yesterday, you can be mafrish on Yom Tov. You shechted the animal yesterday, you should have been mafrish the zro lechaim and keba. Yesterday you didn't, you can be mafrish today on Yom Tov. So what their suggestion is that this is a case where the shechita was yesterday and you're being mafrish the items today. Either you took them off yesterday, or now you're taking them off on Yom Tov itself. So where do they argue? They argue in a case where it was Miyemesh. But implications are that if it was done today, Hufushu Ayom, that would be mutar. That's what Rabbi Yehuda suggested before. Rabbi Yehuda said before, Lo nechu beit shemai beit hillel matanot shehumu me'erev yom tov, shemalichim matanot shehumu me'ayom, that you can take it together with that which is day, shenishkat to ayom, and we're shechta day. Lo nechu gal olichan bifnei atzman. The only do it was to take them by themselves. That was the problem. But the implications were, again, that as long as you mafrish them today because you shech them today and you're forced to take them off today, those you could give to the Kohen. We assumed that in our Mishnah, the Shechita happened today, and you still can't give it to the Kohen today. Rabbi Yehuda says if you mix them together, today's and yesterday's, you can give them. The Machloket is only when you want to take them by themselves. Implying from this that if the Shechita was today, that you could do it no matter what. If the Shechita was on Yom Tov itself, and you were mafish on Yom Tov itself, you could take them no matter what, because you're forced to take them off today, you can give them today. The only question was, from yesterday's stuff. If you want to give yesterday's stuff without today's stuff, then we wouldn't let you do that unless they were mixed together. So now, based on that, our Mishnah on our Havamina said that Hayom and Emesh means Shechted today, means taken off today. Shechted yesterday means taken off yesterday. And our Mishnah says that there's still HMI restricts in both of these cases. But the Gemara amends in the end, it says no. The Shechita here happened yesterday. And that's why we have a restriction. We have a restriction here because the Shechita was done yesterday. That's why Beit Shammai does not permit you. Had you shechted it today, but even Beit Shammai would agree that you can bring it because you have no choice. You shechted it today, you can be mafrisha today, you can give it today. And now the Gemara says, okay, once you read the Mishnah that way, so let us suggest now, Lema Rabbi Yehuda, velo achirim. Let us say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, not the achirim. So afilu teima achirim. Let's say it's even the achirim. Hanu on the nishchatu mi emesh. The Mishnah is only talking about a case of nishchatu mi emesh, or the achirim are only talking about a case of nishchatu mi emesh. Look at the achirim. The achirim don't tell you when they shechted it. All they say is, lo nechla matanot, shebetshemayim rim in molichim, betelor mim molichim. So the Achirim don't tell you when the Shechita happened. Them suggest also that the Shechita happened yesterday. And they would agree if you do the Shechita today that everybody agrees that you can give it. Yachi, Hainu, Rabbi Yehuda. Then what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Achirim? Everybody agrees that if it was yesterday, that's when the Machloket was. If it's today, there is no Machloket. So Mar says, Kabinayu Tfeila. The difference between them is Tfeila, which was if you mix them together. So now, Rabbi Yehuda suggested before that if you put them together, it's permissible to give them on Yom Tov, whereas Achirim don't have that permissibility, meaning that they don't allow you to mix them together and give them. Only when they are alone can you give them. If they're not alone, then you cannot give them. Yeah, then it could fit in according to both of them, meaning that both of them say that when the Shechita is yesterday, that's when you have the Machloket. But when the Shechita is a Yom, then there is no Machloket. Alright, next, Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Meshmol. Halocha ki Rabbi Yossi. The halocha is like Rabbi Yossi. Rav Tuvi, Breid Rav Nechemia, Havalei Garbo de Chamra. He had a jug of wine, the Truma. That was of Truma. Ata the Kamei de Rabbi Yossi. Vano, Mahu, Amtuye, Lekoin Aidna. Can I give this to the Kohen today? Halei, Hachi, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Meshmol, halocha ki Rabbi Yossi. The halocha is like Rabbi Yossi. That means that by matanot, everybody agrees that you can give it to the Kohen. Machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is in giving Truma on Yom Tov to the Kohen. Beit Shammai says no, Beit Hillel says yes. That means if we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and according to Beit Hillel, it's permissible to give Truma to the Kohen on Yom Tov. So you're asking me, can you give this jug of wine, this barrel of wine to the Kohen that's of Truma? The answer is yes, because we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, Aliba de Beit Hillel. Ushpezichne de Rova bar Rav Chanan Avalei Isuraito de Chardola. The Balabayit, the host of Rava bar Rav Chanan, had these bundles of mustard, but it wasn't mustard seed, it was mustard still in the stalks, before the seeds had been separated out from them. So Avalei Mauli Fruche, can I crumble them? Umeichel minayu b'yom tov, and to eat this on Yom Tov. Can I crumble them to take the seeds out, and then utilize it on Yom Tov? Tohave b'yade. He didn't know the halacha. Out to the Kamei de Rava. So then he went and asked Rava. Amarle, he says, Molulin mililot, umifarchin kitniot biyom tov. One is allowed to rub in his hands, between his fingers, the heads or the kernels, in order that they fall away from the stalk itself and you get the seeds, and also so that the husks come off. You're allowed to do that in your hand. As Rashi points out, it's a dash kala'achar yad. It's threshing, but not in the normal way. It's doing the threshing by hand, not doing it in the volumes or commercial quantities that you would normally do it in. Umefarchin kidniot v'yom tov is the same thing for legumes, which is that you are breaking away the husks of the legumes. Eitve Abaye. Abaye says, is that really true? Hamolel melilot me'erv Shabbat. The person who already rubbed these items between his fingers on Erev Shabbat. V'machar, the next day, minapeach miyad yad. He can move them, he can winnow them from hand to hand. He can blow them for the husks to blow away, or the chaff, all the leftovers that you don't need to be blown away. V'ochel, and then you can eat them. Avalo b'knon, you can't do it in a knon. It's either translated in a reed basket. Rashi describes it as something like a funnel. Velo b'tamchui, and not in a dish. Now, you can't use a kli to do the borer. You can only do the borer in your hand and for immediate achila. Biyad, miyad. You can do it by hand for immediate usage. Then you borer ochel mitoch solet. Those are the three requirements we have for borer on Shabbat. So that you're allowed to do. So the disha was done Erev Shabbat. The borer you're doing on Shabbat itself, but you're fulfilling the requirements of what permitted borer is on Shabbat. V'amolel midlilot mi'erev yom tov. On the other hand, if one rubs, does the disha klacha yad mi'erev yom tov, then the machar minapeach yad al yad, you can do it in hand, v'ochel, just like you do it on Shabbat. V'afilu b'knon, v'afilu b'tamchui. Here you can even use the reed basket or the funnel or the dish to do it. V'lo b'tavlo, v'lo b'nafet, v'lo b'kavara. You can't use a tray, you can't use a winnowing fan, and you can't use a sieve. These are items that are for commercial quantities, that are large quantities, that you can't do on Yom Tov. You only have to do small quantities, which are for immediate achila, which we've discussed before. The Ramban's idea of ochel nefesh, difference between what is ochel nefesh, not ochel nefesh according to Ramban, or which melachot are mutar because of ochel nefesh, has to do with which melachot you do in small quantities for immediate consumption, and which melachot you do on commercial levels for even for storage or for future items, including plowing, harvesting, all those items you can't do because of ochel nefesh, because those are things that you do in large quantities. You can only do things in small quantities. So here is a case, you can only do these items in small quantities. And that is actually the halacha that on Yom Tov there really isn't a din of borer, and one can perform borer on Yom Tov unlike on Shabbat. All right, so now, based on this, you see that you can be molel mililot only mi erev yom tov. Here, the Braita tells you that the molel mililot is done mi erev yom tov, then the borer is done on yom tov. But nobody says that you're molel mililot on yom tov itself, so how come Rova was permitting molel mililot on yom tov itself? So Gemara says, listen, mi erev yom tov in, bi yom tov lo. Vai says, how is Rova permitting this? Afilu teima bi yom tov. No, the Braita could have said yom tov, but I did the Tana Reisha Me'er of Shabbat, Tani Seifa Nami Me'er of Yom Tov. And because by Shabbat, it has to be on Erev Shabbat, so keep the parallel structure. It also says by Yom Tov, mi Erev Yom Tov. Im kein matzinu, truma, shezakai b'haramata. Ooh, that's the case. If you can be molel melilot on Yom Tov, that means you can generate a hafrashat truma on Yom Tov. Because you're only chayav in truma, once you reach Meruach HaKri, or you reach the final stages of Melacha on the object. Molel Mililot is that final stage. If that's the final stage now, that means that you've just been Mechayev yourself in Truma. The only way you could do this on Yom Tov is because you're going to eat it. And if you're going to do it on Yom Tov and you're going to eat it, that means you have to be able to be Mafish Truma. V'hatnan, didn't our Mishnah say, Lo Yomartim B'Truma Sheinu Zakai B'Aramata? Didn't our Mishnah say, you're not allowed to be Mafish Trumot on Yom Tov? So how can Beit Shammai, or say this, or depending who it is, Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel, say that you're not allowed to be Mafrish Trumot on Yom Tov? Here, now we have a case where you are Mafrish Trumot on Yom Tov. Lokasha, Harabi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. That difference depends on the opinions of Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya. Hichnis Shibolim, Lasut Mehem Isa. Person who brings in stalks to make dough from them. Ochel Mehen Arai, Upatur. If he eats from them on a irregular basis, he doesn't have to be mafish trumot masrot. Lim molulan bimililot. On the other hand, he brings them in to rub them and to take them out of the shells or the husks, or take them out of their heads to get the seeds out. Rabbi mechayev. Rabbi says that is the gemar melocha, and therefore you chayav in trumot masrot. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, poter. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says you are patur. So what will be is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda will be the author of our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says there is no case of being mafrish truma. On the other hand, Rav over here who says that you can be molel mililot on Yom Tov, and you will be mafrish trumot and masrot, that is Rabbi. That's Rabbi's opinion that you are mafrish trumot to masrot. Where it says, Ulu Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, nami mishkachala. You do have a case where you will be chayav to take off chumakro, and shechnish shibolim lasod ben isa. He brought them in, the shibolim, in order to make an isa, v'nimlachalem lamololan. And then he decided he didn't want to make them into a dough, and he decides to roll them then, biyomto, titivla biyome, because then it became tevel on that day itself. Elamai, truma, what does it mean, truma in the Mishnah? Rov truma. In most cases of truma, you're not going to have mafrish truma on Yom Tov itself. The reason is because most items are going to be b'chayav in truma when you reach Gemara Melacha. The Gemara Melacha is Meruach HaKri. Meruach HaKri is a Melacha that is not mutar on Yom Tov, and therefore you're going to generate the chiyuv truma prior to Yom Tov. In these rare cases where there is no Meruach HaKri, there is no Gemara Melacha outside because you bring them in their husks, you bring them in their heads. So in those cases, you're going to have a rare case where you generate the Gemara Melacha on Yom Tov itself, and there you have to be mafrish truma. So in most cases, truma will not be relevant, whereas on rare cases, it will be relevant. That's what they mean in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, they say, oh, there's no truma. That's in 90-95% of the cases, it won't be that way. This machloket is only with regards to grains. Because over there, when you bring them in the shibolim, there's a machloket Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi. Because when you bring them in their stalks, there was no gemar melacha. And when you bring them in the stalks, can you continue to eat them be'arai? Or not eat them be'arai? But when it comes to kidneyot, when it comes to legumes, there, it's normal to do this. It's normal to bring them in. There's not necessarily a meruacha kri, because there's no digon, there's no kibbutz bikri for the legumes. And because of that, everybody's going to agree over here that hachnasatam hu bechamilin zehu garnan. That if you bring them in their stalks, you bring them in the way they are, that already makes them tevel, and that's the gemar malacha for them, and you be chayav in shuma right away. You can no longer then have from them arai in a non-permanent manner, meaning you can't snack from them anymore, because once you have a gemar malacha, then you cannot do anything except once you've been mafrish trumot to masrot. So he distinguishes between grains and legumes as to whether this machloket Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda applies. Their machloket or their issue about shibolim is because of the fact that grains normally don't come in this way. Since you brought it in this way, is that considered to be gemar melacha or not? But by legumes, where this is the normal way, that will be the gemar melacha and you'll be chayav in shuma right away. Okay, we'll stop over here.